Sanctification, cleansed from the guilt of sin. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God initiated sanctification after he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were set apart for the service of God to live and glorify his holy name. Adam and Eve were holy creatures without blemish. Their spiritual image was absolutely in the likeness of God. However, when Adam and Eve sinned by eating the forbidden fruit, the curse of sin and death became hereditary to them and all generations. Nevertheless, when we are born again, the blood of Jesus Christ purges our body, soul, and spirit from all sins. God restored us into his spiritual image by the operation of the Holy Spirit. The blood is, spiritually, the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a result, the clean, humble spirit of Jesus Christ will be in possession of our bodies, and the curse of sin and eternal destruction of the second death will not have power over our lives in this world, nor the world to come. Satan, who is the prince of this world, has lost his evil power when the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ sanctified us. Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. This scripture emphasizes Jesus' suffering outside the gate of Jerusalem. Jesus gave his life to sanctify all sinners who will repent and believe in him. Jesus said, St. Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. This verse is for atheists who proclaim that there is no God. Jesus paid the insurmountable price of his life in order to make us perfect in his spiritual image. Although many deny Jesus' commandment of spiritual perfection for his people, that does not change the word of God. Jesus is still commanding us to be spiritually perfect. St. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples and believers of all eras. St. John 17:19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth is the infallible word of the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Paul said, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hebrews 10:15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. The Holy Spirit is a witness to those of us who receive it. To us it is the perfect spiritual image of God in Christ. Verses 16-17, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, we can comprehend the immutable promise of the Word of God. In these verses, the Lord promised to write his words in the hearts and minds of his people by his Holy Spirit. This promise is current to all who have his Holy Spirit. The people under the law knew not spiritual perfection. For the Levitical priesthood was only a figure of the true priesthood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The better hope was the promise in the Word of God concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ accomplished the eternal purpose of God for the salvation of those who repent and believe his gospel. The Hebrew writer clearly articulated, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The priesthood of Jesus Christ is current in all times. Even in our present generation, Jesus has chosen a spiritual priesthood for his spiritual kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This verse is very clear. It emphasizes that the eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ is in the blood-washed saints. We are instruments of God, because we are holy. We also separate ourselves from all sins of the world, because Jesus sanctified us through his blood and made us spiritually higher than the earth is from the heavens. Jesus proclaimed, St. John 15:18, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." I hope that by now you can begin to understand the spiritual supremacy of blood-washed believers, who are God's elect, from sinners who are in the filth and ugliness of sin. Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Death does not alter Jesus' word about the judgment. The psalmist was explicit. Psalm 81:15, "The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever." There is a hereafter. It is Jesus' determination to destroy his enemies in all eras by fire. Hebrews 10:28-29, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Those who do not regard the blood of Jesus Christ will die without mercy, because the grace of God is his long-suffering toward us for the purpose of salvation. Verses 30-31, "For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We cannot begin to understand the full destruction of an angry God. However, Jesus reveals to us his perpetual power to destroy. Jesus said, St. Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Of course, we know that Jesus has the sovereign power to destroy all atheists and unbelievers in hell. Revelation 20:12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Verses 14-15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Jesus doomed sinners of all times. They rejected his high standard of sanctification in which his blood was the covenant for the sins of the world. St. Mark 3:5, "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." God created the Sabbath day and sanctified it for the saving and healing of souls. Genesis 2:3, "And God blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." God finished his plan for the salvation of souls. Although our soul is eternal, Jesus still has power to annihilate the soul and body in the lake of fire. It is not his will to destroy life, but to save life. Isaiah's prophetic message of Jesus sparing his sanctified ones, Isaiah 13:3, "I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness." However, Jesus will spare only the sanctified children of God. Jesus said, Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth, and was dead, and, behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." St. Luke 19:27, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, and slay them before me." Hebrews 13:13 states, "Let us go forth therefore unto him, bearing his reproach." The world rejected Jesus' high standard of sanctification. Likewise, we should be willing to wear the thorns of rejection through an undefiled life of holiness. We should be separate from this sinful world. Only those who continue to stand through the fiery suffering of testing will endure for eternal life. The Lord commanded Moses to purify the vessels by fire. Numbers 31:23, "Everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean." God has ordained for our bodies to be vessels for the Spirit of God to dwell. If we endure the suffering of the fiery furnace, we will become clean for the purpose of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were examples of God's people who would not bow to false religion. For that cause, Nebuchadnezzar cast them into a burning fiery furnace because of their faith in the true God. Daniel 3:14-16, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? If ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, verse 18, "We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Verse 21, "Then these men were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Verses 26-27, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." Peter states, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When we endure one fiery test of our faith, then Jesus' works test us again. He will immediately purge our hearts for more faith, because our faith in Jesus Christ is more precious than all the wealth and riches of this world. Jesus Christ honors and glorifies us, who have faith in Him, during our trials of sufferings. Peter said, verse 18, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold." Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Our feeble minds cannot imagine the emotional pains and agony of soul and body that our Lord suffered for our eternal redemption. However, we can only understand this through the mind of the Spirit of God and our personal experiences of suffering for His sake. This scripture emphasizes the hateful evil spirit of sinners who are instruments of the devil in the world. Jesus said, St. John 17:14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." This scripture perpetuates divine anger against those who hate sanctified people of God. Let me reiterate what Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 13:3, "I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness." Because Job was a perfect man, he revered and obeyed God's high standard of sanctification. Job 1:8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheth evil?" He also warned his sons and daughters to repent and obey his teachings concerning sanctification and faith in God. However, they refused and were lost. Verse 5, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. They continued to party, drink wine, and not observe the word of God spoken by their father Job. Wherefore, the Lord was angry and sent a great storm while they were eating and drinking wine, and destroyed them in their sins. One of Job's servants proclaimed, verses 18-19, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and, behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. After the death of his disobedient children, God gave him another group of children who obeyed him." The scriptures do not stipulate anything about them partying and drinking wine.